Hello and welcome to SourceCast episode number 32. I'm your host, Joey Lombardi. This week we have our head in the clouds again. The major theme coming out of this week's blog post is the competition between AWS, Microsoft, and Google. There are even more rumors about Hewlett-Packard. Hewlett-Packard has been dominating this podcast lately, but it's important to talk about it and know what the most recent rumors are, and there are rumors. And speaking of rumors, there's an interesting rumor going around about Oracle that I also would like to share with this audience. I won't keep you in suspense. Let's start the show. The cloud. You see all these commercials from the suppliers where the cloud will change your life. It'll improve your business. It will do everything that you could possibly imagine to fix your life. And maybe it can. The clear leaders of the cloud at the moment are Amazon Web, Google, and Microsoft. Microsoft is in an interesting position because they are the only legacy supplier. Microsoft is reinventing themselves into a cloud company. And side note, there was a rumor this week that, well, it's not a rumor, they actually confirmed it, that for enterprise users, they're offering a subscription-based model to Windows 10. So you wouldn't pay for a traditional license. You pay like $7 a month. And they're bundling it with a cloud service and then also with their 365 Office platform. I'm not sure how that works from an enterprise perspective. You're paying for a subscription. If they roll out a massive upgrade, most corporations usually wait and test before they release those upgrades. On an enterprise level, I'm guessing you pay $100 or $90 for the license. And I imagine most enterprises don't change their operating system every even 3 years. It's probably like a 5 year cycle. So you're paying like $420 for that same license. But if you toss in your Office licensing, which again, Office is like $300, maybe you break even. Sorry, I went down a path there. So Microsoft, they're doing their thing in the cloud. They recently announced a partnership with GE. GE has a platform called Predix, and it helps gather information from the Internet of Things. Well, this Predix platform will be available on Azure. And it'll bring options like natural language technology, artificial intelligence, advanced data visualization, and enterprise applications to that platform. Predix will also be integrated with their Cortana, Office 365, and other services. Predix seems to have more of a focus on industrial manufacturing. It's an interesting target for Microsoft to bring into their platform. And they are clearly thinking outside of their normal offerings to try to attract more users, more enterprise users like GE, to their cloud. Which is very similar to an IBM model. And you may be wondering, where's IBM and Oracle in all this? They're still floating around. They're still doing their thing. I wouldn't say they're in the top three for straight up traditional cloud offerings. They have their hybrid versions where they're offering their software platforms. That's going to be different. And I think you're going to see a clear delineation there. I can see Oracle going down and pushing harder on the traditional cloud hosting environment like Microsoft is doing. But I don't see IBM doing that. Amazon, Google, Microsoft, they're in a race to the bottom for traditional cloud hosting. I don't think that's a fight that IBM wants to get into. So IBM's going to do their thing with Watson. They're going to offer their Internet of Things options, and you're going to see them kind of having their own brand, their own infrastructure, their own solutions, while the other guys have more, like I said, traditional hosting. So how about Amazon? Well, I found an article this week that sort of discusses their origins in cloud hosting and why they went into it. And it's very interesting. It's because they had bad reactions with your traditional companies, like your IBMs, your HPs, and your Oracles, I'm guessing. They don't specifically call them out. But they basically said, from a software perspective, the only way you're getting costs down is to do long contracts and to keep buying more stuff you don't need. And that is true. That's how most software and hosting services work right now. So Amazon's CTO, Werner Vogels, said that he hated that situation. And when they created AWS, and they created AWS as a result of that, but when they started offering it to customers, you don't have situations where you have these complicated contracts. You don't have situations where you have to overbuy to get the best pricing. And that does sound like some kind of utopian viewpoint. I've actually done a couple of personal projects with AWS, and there really isn't any negotiation. You know what your prices are. It's very transparent. I will say it's hard to really get things rolling. Their interfaces aren't the easiest to use, but you know what you're getting when you're signing up with Amazon. There's no hidden costs. But you're also not getting, I don't want to say customer service, like good customer service, because it's not that they have bad customer service. You're not getting that white glove, we're going to hold your hand through this treatment. You have to have people who know what they're doing, who can execute, and know the environment well. On a side note, if you guys read the blog, I was sort of toying around over the last few weeks of maybe moving the blog to an Azure-hosted platform. But I got to tell you, it's considerably more expensive than the traditional hosting platform that I have right now. To run a simple WordPress blog on Azure, that's probably like $50 to $60 a month, and I pay that every 6 months. So just something to consider. I'm also pricing out Amazon and Google to see if they have their head around it. And I think Amazon's cheaper if you buy ahead. So if you buy in bulk with Amazon, you could probably get it to a comparable price, maybe a few bucks extra a month. It's just sort of interesting that even for my little personal projects, Microsoft is considerably more expensive. And again, that's not their wheelhouse, but they do have a WordPress offering. And I can't imagine anybody who runs a WordPress blog would want to pay like 10 times the price just to be on Azure. So their head's not there yet, I guess. So where's Google in all of this? Google's head of cloud, Diane Greene, she must be on some kind of press junket. I've never really heard quotes or interviews from her before, and over the last 3 weeks, she's been everywhere. And they're getting a little braggadocious. I kind of dig it. I'm not going to say that they should do it too much, because then they're in Oracle territory.
And by the way, it's not about making money. It's about taking money, destroying the status quo, because the status is not quo. The world is a mess, and I just need to rule it.
But Diane Greene, in a recent Business Insider interview, said, "We can actually win an RFP pretty much every time against AWS or Azure. Our growth is great. We have the best infrastructure, our own network backbone, our own fiber, and very cost-effective data centers. Very automated." She really pushed the automation piece. And a couple of weeks ago, Greene discussed the competition with Amazon. And she went on to say that Google didn't have the DNA to create a giant new operation focused solely on selling technology, and that's why she was brought in. And it's funny how Greene was brought in. Her name was consistently brought up as a potential head of their cloud division. But there was a hitch. She worked for another company, another startup. And you know where this one's going, guys. So Google just bought the company. It was called Bebop. So they picked up this company for $380 million, and then they named Greene the head of Google Cloud Platform. And they also gave her a seat on the board. So yeah, Google has infrastructure. They have scale. They have this network backbone. And now they have Diane Greene, since 2015, who's trying to turn Google's cloud services into something more enterprise-friendly. So what does that mean for you and me as potential consumers of these services? Only good news, because it's going to keep driving costs down. So maybe next year, if I want to move my WordPress blog to Azure, it won't cost me $60 a month. So shifting over to HP, episode 31 of the podcast was dedicated heavily to the movements of HPE and HP Inc. And we talked about the splits and the movements and trying to keep track of all that. This week, there is a rumor going around that Hewlett-Packard Enterprise is also looking to sell off some of their enterprise software. As we know, HP Inc. sold off a big chunk of their software assets to OpenText, and now HPE may do the same, not necessarily to OpenText, but there's talk that some of the remaining products from Autonomy that Hewlett-Packard Enterprise kept is up for the sales block. So that would be like Fast Search. It's basically Fast Search. I don't think that there's much left from Autonomy. Other software suites that are potentially on the chopping block are Mercury Interactive Assets and Vertica Systems. An unidentified spokesperson from HPE stated that the sale process is in its preliminary stages and may not result in any deals. So bottom line is, something's percolating. I'm guessing that they're probably going to sell something off, because it goes back to the conversation last week. What is HPE becoming? Specific to the data center. They want to sell you storage. They want to sell you servers. Do they want to sell you software? I don't know. I thought that they would. I feel that they would be complementary products, but we'll see. So another interesting rumor that's been floating around is about Oracle and about Java. So as you know, Oracle lost a lawsuit against Google for Google's usage of the Java API in their development of Android. FYI, Oracle's official contesting of the ruling of their loss has started again. But ever since then, there's been rumors that developers on the Oracle side have been told not to work on Java projects. And there's whispers in the internet that Java could be dead. So is Java really dead? No, of course not. There's so much stuff that's developed in Java that there's no way they could just cut it. But is it possible that the open source community forces a fork of Java and it goes back to its open source roots? An article from techworm.net states, "The main reason behind this split, according to Java EE advocates, is Oracle's perceived disinterest in the platform. According to them, lack of support from Oracle will leave them with no option but to move forward with their own improvements. Java EE 8 with HTTP 2.0 and HTML5 support is reportedly being readied for June 2017 release. But the Java EE advocates say that Oracle will miss this date, and they have formed two groups to enhance Java EE on their own, outside of the jurisdiction of Oracle and the formal JCP, the Java Community Process. These two groups will continue to build extensions to accommodate microservices in Java EE. Red Hat and IBM have joined in as contributors to these two projects. So is this a situation where now that Oracle can't bully people using Java as much as they would have liked, is taking their toys and going home? And also, is there this plucky can-do attitude where they're like, go ahead and go home. We're going to go take this stuff and do it ourselves anyway, which I'm not even sure is legal. I don't know how you could split it if they own the platform. And I still can't find a straight answer about that. I'm guessing that in its inception with Sun, there must have been some kind of agreement where they can split it, because the same thing happened with OpenOffice. OpenOffice was a free competitor to Microsoft's Office platform. Sun was a supporter of the product or the sponsor. Then Oracle bought Sun. Then they sort of shelved it. And then OpenOffice split and became LibreOffice. So that whole platform was recreated under an open source license. And now it's being developed under LibreOffice. So I guess the whole programming language and platform could theoretically split too. But if that was the case, I'm not sure why Google didn't do that 10 years ago when they started developing Android. That seems right up their alley to create their own flavor of something. I'm going to keep watching this one because I think it's interesting. I'm going to close things out with some news that you can use. And I have a fun one for you. This is a fun thing to kind of imagine. On the July 6th news that you can use, I had a reference to an article from TechCrunch that talked about telepresence. This is not teleconferencing or video conferencing. There's a situation in some companies. This is kind of hilarious, and I'm not sure if it's practical. They're like little robots, just wheels on sticks, and then you have a tablet with your face attached to it. You just drive them around, I guess, in office, but you're working from home. It's like a little Segway with your face on a tablet. There are some companies that are doing this. Here's a quote from the TechCrunch article. If you haven't encountered a telepresence robot before, they look surprisingly humble. There is some variety in appearance, but the basic elements are a screen that functions as a head, a leg or a neck for turning the head, and a set of gyroscopic wheels for traveling. It's essentially an iPad on a leg with wheels. Although it may seem simple, the technology is quite remarkable in what it could do to bring people together. So I'm going to leave you with this one. Can you imagine a workplace where there are little tiny robots that are driving around on wheels and a giant stick, and then there's a tablet with your face on it? And that's how you interact with people, through cameras on an iPad on sticks. You think about that and get back to me. Thank you for listening this week. We will be back with episode number 33 soon. I'm not making any promises about weekly at this point in the summer. Not because I'm lazy and I don't want to do them every week. Sometimes there isn't enough news to justify a podcast. So sometimes I have to kind of batch two or three blog posts together to make a decent podcast. So we'll be back soon with episode number 33. Thank you for listening. Take care.